Welcome to this week's episode of Baseball Family, where we have Albert Pujols continuing to climb the record books, Ohtani got paid, and we will update your playoff picture.
9 Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast, Baseball Family. I am one of your hosts. My name is Brad. And as you would expect, our guy Brig is on my left. How are you this evening, Brig?
Tired. How are you, Brad?
Likewise. But you know what? I expect us to be this way as we get ready for the playoffs. Because
that's right.
It's a marathon. We're getting to the end of the marathon. And I would expect us to be this way. But the offseason will get here eventually, and we'll get to have some much needed R&R. But then, Brig,
you can't beat the fun of this situation right now, though.
It's worth being exhausted for.
Oh yeah,
it's absolutely worth being exhausted for.
100%.
Yep. I'll take this kind of exhaustion over many other kinds of exhaustion.
Yes.
Because I can't even say the word right now. Like that's
exhaustion.
Exhaustion.
I can't take it.
Anyway, all right. First things first, let's get started with this. Our guy, Albert Pujols, continues to climb in the record books. He hit home run number 703. He is definitely not going to catch the Babe on the list. We didn't think he would, but he did pass the Babe in all-time RBIs. He is now second all-time.
Yep. Number two.
Now, number two. Number two, my lord. So... obviously it means something, right? Climbing up on the all-time list, but I feel like he's just padding his resume at this time.
Why not?
Right? Yeah. You might as well.
Professional pride.
Do you think he'll be... I mean, I think this might be even the only question that's left at this point with him. Do you think he'll be unanimous when it comes time for the Hall?
Yep. Well... I think he should be. I don't know that he will.
There are a lot of guys who should be. Griffey should have been.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know that he will. He should be, though. The end.
He should be, because he definitely deserves it. I mean, and this is the thing, is some voters are gonna be like, well, there were those years in Anaheim, right?
For sure. That's exactly like, right.
Dude, come on now. Come on.
Yeah, so, that's exactly right.
Yeah, I don't know. I would hate for that to happen, but I think that it probably will. Some guy is going to be a wet blanket, and it's going to be awful and weird.
He'll be a first-year guy, though.
I don't know that it will be.
You don't think he'll be a first
I ballot? Bet it'll be some crotchety old man who's just like, I'm going to do this because I could, and he's not the Babe, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, man. Are you serious?
That's what I think. Of course, we'll never know.
I disagree. Right. I think he's getting in the first chance he gets.
Oh yeah. He'll get in. He'll
that's be a what first I mean.
Hall of Famer.
First ballot.
And I'm saying there will be like one person who doesn't vote for him. So he's not.
Yeah, that's fine. Right. Totally. Yeah. But it's going to be the first chance, no matter what.
Yes, definitely, absolutely. Yeah, and that was, and I feel like that's so obvious that my question was unanimous, right? That's what I'm saying is that the one guy who doesn't is going to be some old man who's all crotchety and grumpy, and they're going to be like, you know what? Just don't even vote anymore. Get out of here.
Right.
But. Anywho,
yeah,
we have let's go ahead and move on, break from Pujols. Let's talk about we have a couple of teams that are really close to losing 100 games.
Yeah.
Right. So we do have a couple of 100 game losers. First, we have the Washington Nationals have lost 104. They avoided 105 today by getting rained out. But they play two on Tuesday, then they have one more on Wednesday. So they could potentially lose 107 games.
Holy cow.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, a lot. The A's have lost 102 going into Monday. And then in the NL Central, you have two all-time bad teams. I don't know how this happens in one division, given the number of division games that they play and the fact that St. Louis has only won 92 games to this point. I don't understand how the math works out with this. No. But the Reds and the Pirates have both lost 99 games going into Monday.
Yep. Two games that left.
Blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like I said, the math just does not work out to me. It's like one of those things that when you're going through picking your like when guys pick their NFL schedules, right? Like, oh, this guy, this team will win 12 games, this team will win 13 games, this team could win 14 games. It's like, okay, but who is on the opposite of that? It's like, I don't know who all the teams that are on the opposite of their losing the 99 games. Like, how'd they get right there? It's so weird.
It's not spreading out as evenly as you think, right?
Yeah, it's such a weird thing to me. I agree. That's something to keep an eye on, though, the last couple days of the season here, is to see if both of these teams, I mean, it feels almost inevitable, right, that they're going to?
For Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, it does, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just to see how many they're going to lose, because that'll be four teams that have lost 100-plus games. And, man, I just closed the window. I want to say there's like three teams that have won 100 games. The Yankees could still win 100.
They could still win 100.
The Astros have won 100. The Braves have won 100. The Mets could potentially win 100.
And the Dodgers. And
the Dodgers obviously have won well over 100 games.
Yeah.
So that's one, two, three, four,
five potential teams. Yeah,
potentially five teams over 100. It almost feels like, I don't know if there's like a talent disparity or a trying disparity or what this year, but man, I feel like the CBA was supposed to fix that stuff, and it really doesn't look like it did.
It didn't, and I mean, it's like, I'd like to chalk it up to the first year of the CBA and all the other stuff's just riding through the old system.
Yeah,
the last of it. I don't know if that works out, you know, in real life, but that's how it feels. We'll see. I think next year is going to shake up some things, but I keep saying this, and I'm not going to stop saying it until we have two new teams. It's not going to change anything. I think we're going to have this level of disparity, and I think it's apathy, like you mentioned, right? The trying and the fun differential is a huge problem. I think a lot of teams are just plain not enjoying anything. And when you
it's like a couple years ago, that group that they had in Cincinnati, the Reds.
Yeah.
Like, I remember saying, like, nobody has ever made losing look so much fun as those guys did. But I don't see that. Yeah, I don't see that anymore, though.
No.
So,
well, they traded away a bunch of those guys as well.
They're all in Seattle now.
Yeah, you're right.
That's why Seattle's winning, because they're all having fun and they're surrounded by better players. So
yeah, way better.
Maybe that's what happened. Fun differential is up to 110 in Seattle instead of just 90.
It sure is. Yeah. That's a fact.
But let's talk about teams. Another team that has been historically bad of late, the Baltimore Orioles. They've flipped the script on us. So they have clinched a winning season for the first time since 2016. They will not be making the playoffs. They did get eliminated. We'll get to on that later. But they are the first team to lose 100 games and then have a winning record the next season since 1899. And Three Fingers McGee, that's not his name, was pitching for
Spiffy McGee
was pitching for the New York Bridegroom's Brig. That was the last time.
Was it Three Finger Brown?
I think his name is Three Finger Brown. Yeah,
I think so.
It's one of my favorite nicknames, so I like
the bridegrooms.
I like to use it as my go-to. Same thing with the Bridegrooms, because that's such an old school name.
It's so good. Yeah. So what's interesting about this is that nobody saw this coming. We expected Baltimore to lose like 80 or so games and maybe not be as bad as they were last season, but not this good, not to have a winning record. I didn't see them having a winning record
or contending for the playoffs down to the last weekend.
I know. It's they were eliminated with like three games left.
Mm-hmm.
It was that close. I don't know. It's so much fun. It's fun to watch. So, and this flies in the face of all the things we've been saying about fun differential and all the things we just mentioned about with Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. This must have something to do with front office management, with developmental systems, with all, I mean, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it is interesting too, that at the trade deadline, they trade away Trey Mancini and everybody was like, what are you doing? We were killing them. Everybody, the collective we were killing the Orioles for trading away their best player, or at least their, who we thought was their leader. And then they go on and they continue to win. They were almost better without him. And
almost better.
I don't think Trey Mancini has anything to do with that. Like, I'm not saying that he was like a problem or anything, because he's obviously not. No. I think that it's more of like the makeup of the team, right? That they replaced him with another plus player.
Yeah.
And it worked out.
Yeah. Well, and they brought in other plus players that you could say they gambled on, but mm-hmm. I feel like the 4 to 5 years that it takes to make it through the minor league system is, you can't, like, is it a gamble? Is it really a gamble when you know what you're getting from a guy like Rutschman? You still don't know how he's going to perform in the bigs. You just don't, right. Especially as a catcher and as young right. as he is. Like, that's different. I think Gunner, you bring in Gunner and it's a little more normal. What is he? Isn't he third baseman? You get a guy, but he's not a catcher. The point is, he's not a catcher. Right. Catcher is just such a difficult position to come in as a rookie and to have this big of an impact. It shows maturity. He has skill. He's a switch hitter. He's so much fun, and he commands this whole thing. I think it's a lot of it has to do with Rutschman.
Yeah, so you got Gunnar Henderson as a second baseman for the Orioles. But I think Adley Rutschman, though, is the key to the whole thing, though, because they didn't even start winning until he came up.
Nope.
Once he arrived, then everything turned around. And I mean, I talk all the time about Mike Zunino in Tampa Bay, because I saw him in Seattle, the role that he played and the significance of his leadership on that team. And Cal Raleigh, to this day, since he came back up after being demoted earlier this year, that he's a key piece to the Mariners as well.
Yeah.
And I think Adley Rutschman is going to be the cornerstone to that Orioles franchise for a lot of years, and they're going to contend. They may not make the playoffs every year because they're in one of the best divisions of baseball, but they'll keep up.
I don't know, though, with the new unified schedule, with fewer division games, and
it's true.
You don't know, man. This is going to change everything.
It will. It'll change a lot. But I still think that the Yankees and Blue Jays are going to win a lot of games, though, is the thing.
I think so.
Is that the Orioles are going to have to win a lot of games, too. And I think that they'll at least contend with that. So,
yeah, with this new schedule situation could put us in a situation, could make it so either all of those East and West divisions stack up even harder.
They could.
Or it'll iron things out a little more. But I don't know. It's going to go one of either two ways.
They're going to get more games against the AL Central is the thing.
That's so, exactly right.
That'll help pad the schedule or pad the record a little bit.
But, all right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Keep an eye on the Orioles over the next few years. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch. But let's move on to the Giants. The Giants claim the title of the biggest disappointment this season. Absolutely, hands down, 100%. They are the first team to win at least 107 games and then have a losing record the following season. They're currently 80-79 with two games remaining. Tuesday and Wednesday versus Slam Diego. The closest were the 2019 Red Sox with 108 wins in 2018, then 84-78 in 2019. So if they lose, so they still have to lose what?
They still have to lose two games.
Two games.
If they lose two games, then they have
three games remaining.
Yeah, but if they lose, they just have to have a losing record for it to be the first ever.
So they'd have to lose all three games.
Oh yeah, okay. So if they lose all three games moving forward, yeah, and it's San Diego. They're playing San Diego right now. They're in the fifth right now. I think it's the bottom of the fifth right now. But if they lose all three games to San Diego, which is not an improbability at all, then they would be the first team in Major League Baseball history to win over 107 games in the previous season and then run into a season where they have a losing record. So it's exactly the opposite of what Baltimore's doing.
Yeah, exactly the opposite.
That's why it's interesting.
They're tied in the bottom of the sixth, 0-0. And the Padres are still trying to win games, too, because they're only up a game on the Phillies.
Right.
So they don't want to fall to that third wild card spot.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe they do want to fall to that last spot because you'd rather play the Cardinals, I think, than the Mets or the Braves. Because that's your alternative.
Yeah, you're right.
That's scary. That's scary in the National League playoffs. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Like I said.
Yeah, okay. All right. I was going to... Okay.
That's a whole thing. The brakes are pumped. Let's talk about Aaron Judge instead.
Okay.
Because it took Aaron Judge, what was it, 7 games to hit number 61?
Yeah. Or 8. I don't remember.
7 or 8 games to hit number 61.
Too many.
He remains at number 61 with 3 games to go. My first question to you, Brig, is, Will, do you think he'll get it? Do you think he'll hit 1 home run in 3 games?
Man, 10 days ago I said yes. I don't know right now. I am, and I'm not, I, oh. Okay, this is going to be a hot take.
Okay.
I don't care.
You don't care.
I don't care anymore. Part of that is self-preservation because it's been so stressful.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that. Seriously, the other part of it is that because I do care, but I'm putting up some walls. And the first wall is I can't be this stressed out about it anymore. And that's mostly in jest. The second thing is, though, that I'm really concerned about the playoffs, like really concerned. And I think that the reason I can safely say that I don't care as much is because I want this whole issue gone so that he starts getting decent pitches. Once all this single season crap's out of the way, then maybe guys will play him a little more straight up. He'll get out of his head. He's not as worried about it. Whatever. All that stuff just goes away, hopefully. Hopefully he doesn't drag that with him because it has become the status quo for long enough that hopefully he's not in his head and it's busting him up. But it looks like it's busting him up right now. He doesn't look all – he's not expanding the zone. He's not chasing anything. But he also isn't hitting the pitches that he really ought to be hitting, and it's concerning.
Well, here's my thing with it. Is that he's still getting on base. He's walking. He's still hitting doubles.
Yeah.
Right?
Not as much as he was, though.
I think I heard today that he has like a 500 on base percentage like during this so-called slump.
Right.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. It's not a slump.
Right.
Everybody's just worried about the triple crown and the home run race.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, let me see. I'm looking it up.
Last I saw, he was like 2 or 3 points.
Behind Arias. He's not in first place anymore.
No, he's not.
He's in second place. He's at 311 right now, and Arias is at 315. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't think he'll get the triple crown. I don't think that's going to happen, especially with just 3 games left. That's a pretty significant jump to make at this point in the season.
Yep, it is.
I think he will. I think he will get it, though, because they're playing the Rangers. All you got to do is get into that Rangers bullpen, and they'll serve him something up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But this is my other thing, though, is that they're playing a doubleheader on Tuesday. Do you think Boone has him play both games?
These games are
literally meaningless for the Yankees.
Yeah.
They do not play any games the rest of the way, and they will not move in the playoffs.
But they've got a first-round bye, so it doesn't matter if he does play both games. He still gets the time off. So I say yes, play in both games and give him a chance to hit 62, make it as clean as possible, give him every chance he's got, and then he gets the bye. That's the beauty of the bye right now, is that it gives guys like Aaron Judge a chance to really make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree. I think they should.
You get your B-squad out there and get him some reps and get him some live looks and stuff like that, because we're about to expand rosters, and so a lot of things are being moved around. The Yankees have guys at Double A Somerset right now throwing live BP to get ready. Matt Carpenter's taking live BP right now.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yeah. No, things are happening. We just got DJ back. Like, things are happening to bring these guys back. And we're going to get into this in a minute because that's a little bit of a problem. But
right.
Anyway, I think there's a chance. I mean, yes, there's a chance he gets it. They got 2 games left, right? 3 games left.
3 games left. Yeah.
But I'm so concerned about getting booted the first opportunity in the playoffs. And if I need him to not drag all this into the playoffs, like,
what was it you said before we came on? You were worried that the Yankees are going to get swept in their bye week.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
In the bye weekend.
They get swept during the bye week. Yeah. And be out. I'm serious. I'm so concerned.
I would be. Like, I'm really worried about the Mariners the way they've been playing lately. Like, yeah, they got it, but man, the pitching has been less than stellar.
And that's late. For us, that's what it is too. It's the because our bullpen is a mash unit right now, and it is taking a huge beating. And our offensive production has not kept pace. I still think most of the lineup is near the Mendoza line, right?
Like a lot of guys are near the Mendoza line this
year. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's a pitching year.
Yeah, big time. Big time. We got a couple more things before we go into our first break. Let's talk about Shohei Ohtani for a minute. He and the Angels agreed to a one-year, $30 million deal. This is straight up to avoid arbitration. Now, keep in mind, I don't remember if we got to this or if you got to this while I was gone, Brig, but Artie Moreno has said that he's going to sell the Angels.
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot.
They've got a big, fat for sale sign out in front of Angel Stadium. He's going to sell the whole gambit, all of it. Yep. Team, stadium, parking lot, all the land around it, everything. Everything must go, Brig, as they say.
That's a terrific film, by the way, if you want to see Will Ferrell in a serious role. Everything must go. Oh, okay, moving
very
on.
Good. Thank you. But so I'm curious. I've got a couple questions for you about this, Brig. First off, is signing Ohtani to just this one-year deal, is this like a take it or leave it kind of thing for the new owner? Like, okay, you buy the team, you've got Ohtani for this year. If you don't want to pay him anymore, you don't have to. You let him walk in free agency. But if you would like to keep him, you have an opportunity to negotiate a contract extension. We're going to give you the flexibility here. Is it that kind of deal? Do you feel like that's kind of what's going on here with the team being for sale?
Totally. Well, and I also think it's a huge nod to Ohtani, where they're saying like, hey, in good faith, give us a chance. We're going to shake some things up and we're going to see how it goes. If you'll agree to 1 year, then you'll have more information to make a better decision. But if you base your opinion and your decision-making on this year, it's not going to be what it's going to be next time. Right. So I think everybody wins in that deal. And I think everybody goes into the arbitration and into the next negotiations with more and more relevant information.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really what this comes down to, is that they're kind of dangling this out in front of the new owner, being like, look, you've got Shohei Ohtani. This guy puts butts in seats. Oh, you don't want to pay him? Well, that's fine. You don't have to pay him after this year. You can let him go. So right. I think this is the perfect contract for Ohtani. Get a bunch of money in 1 year, and then the perfect contract for the Angels on that front. That being said, do you think he will hit the market? Do you think he'll come back to Anaheim next year?
Well, he might, but he's going to hit the market first.
Yeah.
He'll test the market. He might still sign with Anaheim, but he's going to test the market. How could you not? How could you not? We've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, and this is the thing that's crazy about it to me, is that like he's going to have people lining up down the street and around the corner at his place waiting to talk to him, to pitch him. They're all going to offer him the exact same amount of money, the exact same amount of years. What it's going to come down to is him being like, I want to play here.
Culture. It's going to come down to culture and fit.
Yes. Seattle.
It could be.
I hope so. So much. Oh,
but
boy,
if people don't lock him down for the bulk of the rest of his career or his prime, they're foolish. And he's going to want that for himself. Like, this is going to be the deal of all deals.
It's going to be a big one. I mean, I wonder if it's going to be up in like the Julio Rodriguez money range. Not necessarily the years, because he is older, obviously.
Yeah.
Been in the league for like 5 years now. But at the same time, though, I wonder if teams are going to be like, $500 million for Shohei Ohtani.
Yes. I really do believe that is a reasonable expectation, especially as teams and prices and everything is moving up, right? Like the market is trending up, inflation on baseball contracts and teams value and different things like that it's almost compounding exponentially.
Yeah.
So I think 500,000 or 500 million is entirely possible.
Well, I talk all the time about, he is literally the most valuable player in the league. He comes out and he gives you a sub 2.5 ERA every year, and he can hit 30 home runs for you in his sleep.
And nobody's done that in 100 years.
Yeah.
Literally 100 of them.
He's got 34 home runs this year with a with an 882 OPS. And jeez, his ERA this year is just showing me batting. There's pitching. Is 2.35 ERA this year.
It's just foolish. It's foolish.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to give him a lot of money. And Brig, on top of that, he is 28 years old. He turned 28 on July 5th.
He's not that old. That's what I was thinking. Like, he's just...
Even if his arm deteriorates, you got yourself a DH for 10 more years.
Easily.
Yeah.
10 and whole years. And teams pay
top dollar for DHs.
And he's going to be a quality DH.
Yep. Yeah.
Mmm. Savoring the idea of him being in New York is just very exciting.
And who knows? Because when he came over, he said he didn't want to play in a big market. And that's part of, that's why he chose Anaheim over LA. Yeah. Right? But I wonder if he's gotten to the point where he's like, I kind of dig it. Kind of dig New York.
I could do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so if he ends up in New York, think about this. Let's say 2024 rolls around. Aaron Judge is locked in. Gerrit Cole is locked in. Nestor Cortez has maintained where he's at, right? We still have all that young talent with Oswaldo Cabrera and, oh, man, it's Anthony Volpe shows up from the minors and everything like that starts churning it out. And then if you add Ohtani to that, it could be dangerous.
That would be. It really would be dangerous. It'd be scary for the rest of the league.
It's a big fat rut row for everybody else.
Yep, it really would be.
But he's a rut row everywhere. So
he is. He's a problem. Where. He's going
to continue. He could go to Cincinnati and be a rut row, you know?
Just wreak havoc on the NL Central.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we're going to win now.
Yeah. Just, well, no, they wouldn't because we've seen what that he himself does not win games. He himself is a wrecking crew, but it does not lead to wins, unfortunately.
That's true. You're right. Okay.
All right, let's move on to the last thing. Last thing we have here before we go to our break is Tony La Russa has officially announced that he is retiring. He's not coming back this season after his pacemaker procedure. He is done. Long overdue. I don't want to say long overdue, but it's overdue. No,
it's overdue a little bit.
He's old.
So he has managed for 37 seasons, and he managed 35 of them. 10 years ago was his 35th managing season. 10 years ago. So he was with the White Sox, then he was with Oakland, then he was with the Cardinals in St. Louis. Then he took a 10-year break. In the last two seasons, he's been back with the White Sox. In that 10-year break, by the way, he was elected to the Hall of Fame. So he's already in the Hall of Fame, and he came back to manage. They're just barely sub 500 this season, just like by a game or two. It's not even,
but it's like, still a disappointment based on their expectation.
It is, but he has 2,899 or 2,900, depending on which reference you want to use. According to baseballreference.com, it's at 2,900 wins as a manager alone. He has managed 5,418 total games. And he has won 2,900 of them. That puts him at the number two all-time winningest manager in the history of Major League Baseball.
Pretty good.
That's insane. It's insane.
Doesn't Bobby Cox hold the record for the most wins?
I think so. Tony has been the manager of the year four different times in that 37-year managing career. And don't forget, he has a Juris Doctorate.
Don't forget about that.
Can't forget. It's too good.
It's too good. So
he's,
random.
He's about the most interesting man in the world. You know, like I want to know what are his hobbies? You know, what does he read in his leisure time?
I want to know what kind of law he wanted to practice. If he specifically did it just to represent himself in contract negotiations, or if he was like, you know, when I'm not doing this anymore, I want to be I want to go into family law. Want to help people with their family problems.
Or was it what do you call it? Dang it. Intellectual property. He's like, "No, that's mine." Or yeah. That's
copyright, that's lawyer. Not yours.
Yeah. you know what's interesting? He guess how many years he played Major League Baseball. Just guess.
Officially 10 years, but I think he only played for like 7.
Yeah, it's 6. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got 6 seasons on the books, a total of 132 games across those 6 seasons.
So definitely not in the Hall of Fame as a player.
No, and he played second base and shortstop.
Yeah.
But now I looked at this just a minute ago. I'm going to see if I can
remember. I want to see if I can remember. You have it up still, Brig?
Yeah, I got it.
Played for the Kansas City Athletics.
Yep.
Played for Oakland.
Yes.
And then who was the last team? I know he never played for the White Sox. He managed for them first.
He spent 9 games in Atlanta and then 1 game in Chicago.
That's right.
From 1963 to 1973, it did cover a 10-year span, but he played age 18 season with the Kansas City Athletics, 34 games, and then he didn't play again. That was 1963. He didn't play again until 1968, 5 games in Oakland, and then 69, 8 games in Oakland, and then 1970, 52 games in Oakland. Craziness.
It is craziness. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to give you our second to last fantasy update because the season and our fantasy playoffs end with the season. And then we're going to talk about depth in the playoffs.
No matter which ballpark you're at, you want to rep your team. Now you can with 9+ Us. Welcome to the Big City Series. With every design available in your team's colors, you can fit in with the home crowd or stand out on the road. Either way, we have the colors you crave. Shop the Big City Series and find designs that rep your favorite baseball podcast, cheer from the cheap seats, and much more. Shop the Big City Series only at 9plusus.com.
Welcome back, baseball family. Brad the Man here is going to give us a quick fantasy update. It's the last week of the season. It's the playoffs, and all the consolation games have been swept over. So, Brad, and then we'll jump into another topic. Brad, go ahead.
Okay, I have our fantasy playoff championship matchup. Actually, we have Grace Under Fire. That's Denise against Jewel, the big league Chupacabras. Currently, going into the last 3 days of the championship matchup, because this thing, like I said, is stretching all the way to the end of the season. Right. We have Denise with a 908 to 880 lead right now. So everybody's playing over these last, 2 days, 2 days of the season. Yeah. Some people are going to double up on points because of doubleheaders. Like Jewel has Cal Raleigh as his catcher. I guess he'll only get points for one game because Cal's not going to catch both games. But he does have, he has Joy Menezes with the Nats. Yeah. He could double up with him potentially. Yeah. So I think this thing's still wide open. It's going to be interesting. I'm actually paying really close attention to see who wins this because I'm very curious. But so that's our fantasy update because I don't care about the consolation bracket at all because it mattereth not. Okay, let's get into not. This is something that Brig brought up. This was a couple weeks ago. And I wanted to talk about it because it's a thing. Yeah. We actually talked about it a little bit on the Seattle Baseball Together podcast at the beginning of the season, that too much depth can be somewhat of a problem, right?
Yeah.
Because guys got to get their reps in. You want to have guys playing as much as they can, as close as they can to every single day. But then what do you do when you have 4 outfielders who are, you got three all-stars, a 4th borderline all-star who would be an all-star if he got to play 155 games out of the year, right?
Yep.
Or you've got 6 outstanding starting pitchers. What do you do with that 6th guy? Do you put him in the bullpen? Well, maybe, but then he's disgruntled.
Right.
And then what do you get out of him, right? So on the other hand, though, you've got 3 outfielders and a DH guaranteed.
Yeah.
You've got a 6-man rotation for the first half of the season.
Yep.
And then a lockdown 1 to 2 inning reliever.
Yeah.
So is too much depth actually a problem, or does it seem like a problem?
I think it depends on where you are in the season. Honestly, because right now the Yankees have a depth problem because of the injuries.
Right.
So we have guys like DJ LeMahieu, Matt Carpenter. We have those are the best examples. So we have some pitching coming back. And what we're going to see is while they were gone on relatively extended breaks because of their injuries, who do we move out who has stepped up to the plate and proven themselves, right? And has earned their spot. That's where depth really gets you in my mind. I don't think anywhere between April and like August, it's a huge problem. But come August, like 15th, August 12th, 15th, you get halfway through August and you start to have these depth issues due to injuries. Now, because you're making the playoff push and everything's coming together, or it's falling apart and you're going to make some shifts or whatever. The Yankees are a prime example of that this year. Like, what are they going to do when Matt Carpenter shows back up? But Oswaldo Cabrera is awesome.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, what's the expanded playoff roster?
I don't know if they go beyond 28 because they moved to 28 on September 1st from 26.
Right, but that's it. They're not. It doesn't go up from 28, does it?
I don't think so. I'm double checking right now.
I don't think so either.
A 26-man roster for the postseason. So they're not.
Oh,
they're
it's 26. It's not expanding at all.
No. Yeah, they're not changing anything at all. Because it used to go up to 40, and it would stay there for the playoffs. But now they've dropped it down to 28 because owners don't want to pay a minor leaguer to be a big leaguer for a month. But no, I mean, like, so coming into the season, Jewel and I talked about this problem in Seattle. It's like, well, you got 4 outfielders because Kyle Lewis was supposed to be healthy. Mitch Haniger was supposed to be healthy all season. You're pretty sure you're going to have Julio Rodriguez, and you got Jared Kelnick. Well, it turned out, Brig. But then, and you brought in Jesse Winker. That's 5, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then it turns out Jared Kelnick is playing like a 4A all-star. And so he has to go down to the minors to figure things out, mostly mentally. Kyle Lewis is not ready to come back from a knee injury. He comes back and gets hit in the head, and he's missed most of the season with a concussion and lingering effects from that. Mitch Haniger missed like 3 months with an ankle sprain. And then you've got Jesse Winker and Julio Rodriguez holding things down. You've got a rotating right fielder. But here's the thing. Sam Haggerty has emerged as now they call him Ham Swaggerty because he is that good at baseball. Yeah. And he does walk up to the plate to the Godfather Waltz? The Godfather Waltz?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, though, going into the offseason. It's
so hardcore.
It is hardcore.
It is really intense.
So now, like, here's the crazy thing with this, though, is like now you're going to the offseason. Like, okay, Jared Kelnick has remembered how to play baseball. We're calling him September Kelnick. Because he plays at a different level in September.
That's awesome.
You've got him playing well. Julio Rodriguez, obviously back, playing well after a back injury. Yep. And then you've got Mitch Haniger playing well. Jesse Winker has disappeared.
Right.
Kyle Lewis is a big fat question mark because we don't know. We don't know. His knee was never right, and the concussion has been an issue. So you've still got 5 guys, but you don't know what to do with them.
Right.
Mitch Haniger is on an expiring contract. So it's like, well, do you bring him back? Do you bring in somebody else? And then you got another problem at first base and DH with Carlos Santana and Ty France, because Ty France missed a while with an injury. So they brought in Carlos Santana to take his place and fill in for him.
And he stepped up.
And all Santana has done is hit big home runs.
Yep.
If you need Which a home run,
which is what Ty France
game,
did.
It's what he did before his injury. He's not been the same since he's come back from his injury. So it's like, well, we know what Ty France is capable of. He's on a he's team friendly because he's so young still. But then Carlos Santana is a vet who hits under 200, who is hitting under 200. So you know he's not going to ask for a bunch of money.
But he's clutch.
Exactly. So you've got yourself a problem there. Like that's how pieces. It is.
That's how it is with Matt Carpenter in the Yankees.
Yeah.
It's like he's clutch, man. He's his role is as a pinch hitter. And he does a great job coming off the bench whenever they need him. And when he does, he hits dingers.
Yeah, he does. He does. And I think Santana has gotten to the point where he's like, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it for you. I'll come in and hit pinch hit home runs for you. I don't think he has a problem being the 12th man, right? Like, he's not even necessarily the first guy off the bench because he's not fast. He's not the second guy off the bench because he's not a gold glover, but he'll be the third guy because you need a pinch hit, base hit or home run. But it gets to be interesting. And then this was from a couple weeks ago or last week that the Yankees, are they still thinking about this, Brig? Have you seen anything they're considering DFAing Aroldis Chapman?
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
It's not because, you know, here's the problem with Aroldis Chapman. You know, with whether he's right or wrong with that, probably like that first or second fastball.
Mm.
And he has the minimum three batter rule. So if you get him up there and everybody's like, oh man, dude is off today, then it's on like Donkey Kong, you know, and that's a problem. They're going to pick him apart. And now his velocity has dropped. He's not throwing 105 anymore, which is fine. It's just that his control suffers a little bit, and I think his confidence is shaken big time.
Hmm.
So he's still 97, 98, but his confidence is...
But this is the thing, though. I mean, we watched a whole documentary on the difference between 102 and 98.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That 102 is by you, and 97, 98 is in the bleachers. So that really makes
sometimes he'll even go down lower than that. But the point is that I think it's mental for him. You can see it. It's super clear. If you watch the broadcast, when he is shaken up and he's not on, he exudes, his whole body language just tells it all. He telegraphs his whole anxiety and everything. So yeah, man, he's not who we want him to be right now. He's just not.
So you wouldn't be shocked or upset or anything if they did DFA him.
No, I wouldn't be. But my problem is like, who else? Because of the MASH unit bullpen.
Yeah.
Because
And so that's the thing that's interesting is like, we talked about having too much depth, and now you don't have the depth that you need. That you've got a guy you want to get rid of, you're considering getting rid of. But who do you replace him with?
Exactly, and so now he's a middle reliever. Now he's a, you know, he's a three out, two, three out guy, depending on the situation. And you put him in the sixth, seventh, eighth, if you have to. He comes in a lot in the eighth, but
kind of the sad, I don't
know, man. Yeah, he's become that that late stretch setup guy. Exactly. I don't know. It's really upsetting. But so the depth problem goes both ways. I don't know that there is a right answer to the depth thing, because now that they're not expanding, their rosters aren't expanding, not even to those extra two dudes. Like a lot of teams, like Terry Francona, who's managing Cleveland's ball club, what a crazy great manager, by the way. He likes to carry three catchers in postseason. It's like his thing.
Yeah. And you should. I think a lot of teams should, honestly, because you never – that's the last position you want to have an emergency at, right?
Yeah, but think of all of the work and the time and effort that goes into getting comfortable managing the entire pitching rotation and the entire bullpen and all of the trust that's built and all the communication nuances and all the everything that goes on. And on top of – managing a game effectively, on top of stepping up to the plate and pulling your weight. I mean, it's just so much to do, and you got to do that with two guys now as it is. You add a third, where are you going to pull that guy? Where?
So this is how that works. This is what they do with. So first off, spring training, right? These catchers are catching bullpens, so they get to know the pitchers, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is you put that third catcher out in your bullpen as your bullpen catcher.
For sure.
Or as one of them.
Yeah.
So he can sit out and he can gain trust and get to know the relievers out there. And then before the game, you have him catch maybe some warm-up pitchers or something for pitchers or something. Yeah. I don't know. Or maybe on their bullpen days, you have him catch the starting pitcher, so he gets to know him. I think there are ways that you can get to know the pitchers and manage the pitching staff as the third catcher. because typically the first string and second string catchers, those guys already know them, right? Because these days, the number two catcher is catching getaway days.
Yeah.
So twice That's a
exactly
week.
Right.
So it's at least so there's not a problem there, but
the problem is the live at bats for that third catcher.
Oh, and that's a problem for the second catcher too. I feel like getting
totally
what 6-7 at bats a week, maybe 8.
Yeah,
that's hard. That's really hard.
I'm just saying it's a lot of logistics, and I don't know how Tito does it, but he does it, and it's his thing. But now that we're sticking to 26 man roster, which I'm glad you clarified, I don't know what the right answer is. It's funny business. It's a funny business.
I don't know. It is a funny business. It's strange. And I want to double check that because that doesn't seem right. It seems like it should be 28 because it's been a 26-man roster all
leading
season.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want
to double check. I hope it does expand to 28 because that would satisfy a lot of my anxieties. For real. But I don't know.
Okay, so they didn't expand. I don't know. This is MLB saying the postseason roster rules. Teams will submit a 26-man roster prior to each round in the postseason. So,
okay,
come from MLB.com.
Okay,
so
yeah. Well, there you have it, baseball family. Those are our thoughts and feelings. I don't but know. Are you worried about it?
This is another note, real quick though, is that it was 25 before, so they weren't going with the full 40-man September roster into the playoffs.
Okay.
So they do get an extra player. So it will be easier for Tito to have that third catcher.
Got it.
So, and
still,
honestly,
26 is light.
It feels light for the playoffs, even though, like I said, it is one extra. I'm not overly concerned about it because having 28 in September has been almost like you've got this guy, you've got to use him. You know, like Taylor Trammell was one of the guys who came up for the Mariners with roster expansions. And I want that guy to be successful so bad, but he was awful.
Yeah.
Absolutely awful. I think he got one hit and it was a home run during like a garbage inning against the A's.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I would prefer not to have, I would like to have that guy on the base paths, but I don't want him as a pinch hitting option. there are better pinch hitting and pinch running options in that dugout than Taylor Trammell. As much as it pains me to say that.
It's tough. That's really tough. So,
anyway. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. When we get back, we're going to update everybody on the current playoff picture because things are the field set.
The Not Another Sports Podcast is the home of sports talk for everyone. Every other week, you can catch David and Jason as they talk about all things sports. From current events to classic moments and everything in between. You can find the Nonlinear Sports Podcast on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and more. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.
Welcome back, baseball family. So the only thing that matters right now is the playoffs. Let's be honest. Nobody cares about really anything else because the season is wrapping up here in a couple days, and we are getting in the playoffs at the end of the week, and we'll get to that in just a minute, what we're going to do for the playoffs, because it's very exciting. But we're going to give you a quick update on what's going on with the playoffs, and then we'll let you get back to games and following scores and things like that, scoreboard watching as is appropriate. Real quick, make sure you tune in on Thursday. This is going to be 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. This is our weekly live, but this is going to be a very special live. It's going to be longer. It's going to be basically like our second full episode this week, and we're going to be doing our wonderful and fun playoff primer. For those of you who are new to the show,
playoff primer.
It is my favorite sound that we use on this entire show.
He waits all year. He waits all year to do that. You tell him the story, Brad. Tell him the story.
I try to use it as much as possible. So our first year, I said that we were doing the playoff primer. And as we're going into break, and Brig said that is not edited sound. The only thing that I edited was putting the angelic chorus under it. I didn't add any reverb or anything to Briggs' voice. That is him just saying playoff primer because he's excited. going into break. And so I was like, I told him, we're going to use that for the rest of forever. Oh, man. And I protested.
I protested. I'm still under protest. It's fine.
And for those of you watching on the YouTubes, you can see the fun little graphic that we put it with as well. But as a treat for you, our listeners, we're going to be recording the Big Show live every Monday night as well. Yep. So we'll be going live on Thursday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to be talking about playoffs and everything all through the playoffs. And then the other thing we're going to be doing is all through the playoffs, we'll be going live on Monday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern as well. So come and join us, have fun, talk playoff baseball, and I'm probably going to have games on while we're talking.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
Because I have to.
For sure.
For sure. That's right. But like I said, it'll be a regular show. We'll be doing our current event section, everything like that, and we'll be giving you playoff updates as they're happening. And that will be live, as usual, Thursday and Monday, both on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. So be sure to join us for the party for that. Now, playoffs. I'm so excited. Let's talk about it.
Oh, my.
So as of this moment, the field is set. Seeding is not necessarily set in stone yet, but the 12 teams are. So let's run down it real quick. In the American League, we've got the Astros, Yankees, Guardians are your division champions. And then you've got the Blue Jays, Mariners, and Rays. We'll get to those in just a we'll get to the Mariners in just a little bit because that's kind of a big deal. And in the National League, you've got the Dodgers, Braves, and Cardinals. The Dodgers and Cardinals have their divisions wrapped up. And then the Mets, Padres, and Phillies. The Phillies clinched as we were talking during the first segment. Good for them. Congratulations. Another long playoff drought ended. So congratulations, Phillies fans.
Detroit is up, I think.
Detroit and Anaheim
mm-hmm.
have the current longest playoff drought. Now,
that's right.
Let's talk about this just a little bit. So let's talk about the Mariners first. The drought is over.
It's over.
The monkey is off the back, and it was amazing. Cal Raleigh hit a walk-off home run off the Hit It Here Cafe in right field in the bottom of the ninth against the A's. And it was one of those things, Brig, off the bat. I was doing the Carlton Fisk. Stay fair. Just waving it. Waving it. Come on. And sure enough, it was fair. And I was jumping up and down in my living room, and I was like, I didn't like cry like I thought I was going to. I did tear up, I'll be honest with you, because I was just so happy, right? Huge moment. And it's like, man, it couldn't have happened like in a bigger moment to a better guy, because Wilson and I have met Cal Raleigh, and he was really nice to Wilson. So I've been like pulling really hard for him.
Awesome.
So that's a cool thing, you know, having a personal experience with him like that.
Totally.
Seattle went nuts. People were crying and hugging strangers, and I guarantee you there will be a baby boom in July.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I'm certain of it. So, and tune in later this week to the Seattle Baseball Together podcast, because Jewel was at the game.
Oh, that's right. There. He was.
He called me. He's like, just listen. And he held his phone out. And I got to listen to the crowd going nuts. It was awesome.
It's awesome.
It was super cool. So tune in to that. He'll tell us firsthand what the whole thing was like, because that was an unreal experience. He was actually telling me earlier in the week, he's like, man, the Mariners could clinch this week. He's like, I'm going to go on Saturday. I was like, oh, right on. And then it got closer. He's like, they could clinch on Friday. It's like, I got to go both days. So he went both days. He went Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's amazing.
So firsthand stories coming from Jewel this week on the Seattle Baseball Together podcast. Check that out on Thursday morning is when that will be out, ready to go.
Awesome.
So I am so excited. That's why I'm wearing my not sexy shirt today.
Right. Yeah.
Padres, Brig, how do you feel about Slam Diego making the playoffs?
I think the scientific term is
you would honestly, like, with everything they've dealt with this year, you would think that they weren't going to at some point, right?
I'm like, yeah, the one hand I'm like, what? And on the other hand I'm like, of course. And then it's been back and forth all season long, and I don't know how to feel, and that's why I summed it up scientifically.
That was the perfect scientific explanation. It's so weird because they got Soto, and it's like, oh man, like I was even like, Pencil them in. Write it in, right?
You did.
Like, this is your World Series pick, but no. No.
And not even close.
No, not even, no. Nowhere near.
Only barely, actually.
Yes, because they currently only have like a half a game on the Phillies as of this moment.
Right.
They could have a whole game if they win tonight. But, yeah, no, I do not believe in the Phillies, or the Padres, like at all in the playoffs.
No, I'm worried for them.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for them all at the same time, right?
Right.
Like,
right, because this is only their second. I didn't realize this is only their second playoff berth since 2006. The other one came in 2020 because they missed last year because the Giants had their year.
Yeah, they're weird. off, on, whatever we're calling it year.
One off? I don't know.
There you go. One off. Yeah, no, I'm like, so I'm thrilled for San Diego, but I'm confused and concerned at the same time. And I don't know, but you know, this is one of those teams that this would be it, and they're excited and they're going to move through everything. You never know. But if history has shown anything, that San Diego plays LA tough, but then LA wins.
Right. Yeah.
So if it comes down to it.
And here's seeding, the other thing too, is that if playoff Soto shows up, that could be a big deal for the Padres.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because playoff Soto is a different level, completely
he's
different.
A whole, he goes into a new gear.
Yeah.
And he knows how.
Even right? as a it's rookie, like, he knew how.
It's very obvious that he is a new, there's a new level for him. So it's just going to be a matter of who they play in that wild card spot. That's it.
Right. As of today, because they have not clinched, they're not locked into the second wild card spot yet. But if the playoffs did start today, they would be playing the Mets, and that is some consolation prize for getting that fifth seed. I would not be wanting that fifth spot if I was San Diego or Philadelphia.
Nope.
Like, I would be resting my starter. If I was San Diego, I'd be resting my starters the last 2 days of the season to get a couple losses to drop down to the sixth and play the cards.
Yep.
That's what I would want.
That's brilliant, because that's what I would want too.
But then
not because the cards are a pushover.
All right, but it's not the Mets or the Braves. The Braves have been the best team since like June.
June or July?
They started winning in June.
Yeah, but they've been the best since July.
The best. Like, yeah. It's so like Jewel actually said today over the Jewel told us today over the last 100 games of the season that they've played, they were winning at a pace where if they had played, okay. They had played the same pace over the last 100 games. They played for an entire season. They would have won 114 games.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. That's amazing.
That's a dangerous team. Oh, they're, yeah. And they're playing they're continuing to play really well right now. They're peaking at just the right time. That I don't want to be hyperbolic or anything, but we could have a repeat champion, Brig.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Braves won at all. They got to go through the Dodgers. They got to go through the Astros. But I would not be surprised if it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so. That's kind of what you're looking at right now with the National League. Like this moment, the Phillies sit in the sixth spot because they're the last team to clinch. But that could easily be the Phillies or the Padres. And then you've got the Mets and the Braves. Let's talk about the Mets and the Braves for just a minute, Brig.
Yeah, let's, because I got something I want to talk about. It's pretty awesome. Go ahead.
Go ahead. So the Braves swept the Mets. Go ahead, Brig.
Yeah, but in the middle of that, William Contreras decides to come up to the plate and his walk-up song was Narcos against Edwin Diaz. And it was basically the greatest thing of all time.
Tugging on Superman's cape, for those of you not aware. That's what that was.
Literally tugging on Superman's cape. And he sat him down with three straight pitches. just like, no. Not in my house.
I love it. It's
and
so
it was
funny.
In Atlanta, and it was amazing. It was literally amazing.
So good. But so the Braves swept the Mets. This is the thing that's crazy to me. All the Mets had to do was win one game in that series. Like it's one of those things where it's like you just couldn't get swept. You just couldn't get swept.
You just
but then you got couldn't. Swept.
I know.
And now the Braves are up a game and a half on them on the Mets as of tonight, as of Monday night. Yeah. The Mets and the Nats got postponed till Tuesday. They got rained out.
Yeah.
So the Mets have three games to make up a game and a half. The Braves have two left.
I am so angry
that the Mets met.
They
the
haven't.
Mets.
Stop it. Stop. They haven't done it yet.
They're in the process of doing it, though.
Stop it, Brad. I have been.
Did
on
you see
the
that? Did you see that
year.
That graphic on Facebook today? It was. I think it was.
Yes,
the, is it the baseballer?
Hexagon and the
hexagon, pentagon, and then had the Mets and it said division octagon. Gone.
Division gone. Yeah, it was really funny. It was really funny. And yeah, you know what? Even if they lose the division, it's okay. I still think that they're tough. I mean, they're just tough.
They are tough, but they have a favorable road too.
They do. And I just
the
don't
think the changes to the bye.
I'm gonna see what happens against LA if they end up without a bye.
Right.
Because that's who they stand to play if they end up without a bye. Is yes. If they if they proceed past the wild card round, obviously, but
yeah, and honestly, I don't feel like the Braves or the Mets will lose in the wild card round. Three games at home?
No. I don't think they'll lose. But then either one of them will end up playing LA.
The Dodgers, yeah.
Yeah.
And that'll be tough. That'll be
really
tough on them.
No matter what. Yeah.
So here's the thing about this, Brig, though, these last couple days of the season, is that the Braves have the Marlins. They lost tonight. They lost on Monday to the Marlins. And that's why it's a game and a half lead is all going right into Tuesday. And the Mets have the Nats. So they both don't have a tough opponent.
No.
But it's a matter of beating them because these teams both want to play spoiler.
Yeah. And they're both of the winning teams are they're
got a lot of pressure.
There's well not only that, but they've got a lot of rest that they're not going to get. That they probably would like to spare a guy a day, and they can't do it.
Yep. There's that, and then also more rest is at stake too. Like you talked about.
That's what I'm saying, like big time. Like
Yeah, I'm sure because I'm sure that there are guys in the bullpen they would love to rest because I'm sure that these bullpens are gassed. Like everybody's bullpen is gassed at this point. All the good teams, except for maybe the Dodgers, because they beat everybody by a million. Yeah. But the Mets, the Braves, their bullpens are pretty much gassed. I'm sure that they would love to save their top dogs, but they're not going to be able to because they've got to win. So
fascinating.
It is fascinating. And you're seeing kind of the same thing in the American League too. The Blue Jays sit on the top spot, right?
Yeah.
In the wild card. I don't think they're going to give that up. They've all but clinched that, but it comes down to the Mariners and the Rays.
Yeah, that's right.
It's almost like neither team wants to play Toronto.
I don't blame them.
I wouldn't either.
Because Toronto's not just talented. Toronto's talented and ornery about it. Like they've got like a chip on their shoulder. If you look at Vlad Guerrero Jr., I feel like is the heart and soul of that team. And when he is up, they're up. When he's down, they're down. And they've got other guys that can come in and pick him up when he's down. But when nobody rides higher than him, I feel like he is the emotional heartbeat of the team. And he is so expressive. He's so emotional that you can see it. And it translates throughout the whole dugout. So we watch them play a lot, right? We play them a lot. So Vlad is he's gunning for the Yankees no matter what. Like,
yeah,
he wants them to lose and he wants to be the one to beat them if he can. And so I think he'll make sure that they'll do everything they can to at least beat the Yankees or do better than the Yankees.
Here's the thing too, though, is that I think out of all the teams in the American League, nobody matches up better against the Astros than the Blue Jays do. And I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here kind of with a little bit of a playoff preview, but I would want the Blue Jays to play the Astros. That is the team that I would want them to play.
Yep.
The problem is that the Mariners at this moment have the Blue Jays in Toronto. And now the vaccine thing is not going to be an issue because that's gone. Thank goodness.
That's a big deal. Big deal.
That's a huge deal. Yeah. But Toronto is not the team. That's not the matchup I want. I definitely want Cleveland because of matchups.
Yeah, you'd want Cleveland.
Straight matchups. And it's nothing against Cleveland. It's no, like I said, it's all about easier matchups. Is that the Mariners batting order we've seen matches up really well against Cleveland, despite the fact that the Mariners won the season series against the Blue Jays.
Right.
I would still rather face that pitching staff because of matchups.
Yeah.
So, but we do know that it's not going to be Seattle and Tampa Bay.
No. Those are on opposite sides of the wild card right now.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So interesting couple days coming down to the wire here. Did we miss anything? Oh, the Dodgers.
Yeah.
The Dodgers, what? Like we said, they're really good. They beat everybody by a million.
Yeah.
They continue to want to win all the games despite clinching home field through the National League and likely through the World Series too, because nobody else is going to win 110 games. So they'll have home field for the rest of the year, and it'll be fine. Last note here for the Dodgers, they are the first team in the National League to win 110 games since the Pirates did it in 1909, and Skippy McGee threw a floater for Perfecto Brig.
Whoa. You kidding me?
Perfecto. I don't know.
Oh, I was like, what? No
way. It's another one of those things with the bridegrooms. It just sounded old-fashioned, so I threw it in there.
I was like, no way. I want video evidence of this 1909 game. That's awesome. Very well played.
But, yeah, so the Dodgers are winning all the games. They're the team to beat. Like, that's what it comes down to at this point. But, anyway, baseball family, let us know what you think about the playoff races. Get it. Join us on Thursday. Have conversation with us while we're talking about it, the playoffs, while we're doing the playoff primer, and let us know what you think about who you think is going to win, the matchups you love, the matchups you hate, everything like that, because we want to hear from you on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. I believe you can comment on Twitch. I don't know. I'm not that familiar with it. I just know that we go there.
We go there.
You can find us there. Yeah.
And we have one loyal follower on Twitch, and we're very excited that he's there every single time. Grateful.
Yep. Every week. Thank you every for joining time. Us, Twitch follower.
That's right.
We don't know your name.
Baseball family, if you dig what we're doing as much as we do, you can support us for less than it costs me for a bougie cup of coffee. We have tiers of support at $1, $5, $10, and $15. They all come with their own little swag bags and their own little perks. But each one of them comes with a bullpen cut, which is an unedited, uncut version of how we produce the big show every week. That'll be yours for as little as a dollar a month. And it really does help us get things going, produce new ideas, run with some ideas that we have that we would really love to jump into this postseason to prepare for next season. But for those of you that don't know, we go strong even during the winter break. So we're here every week, no matter what, year round. And you can always stay tuned because we're going to be here with you.
Yep, for sure. And don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Give us a subscribe on YouTube. We clip the episode every week into bite-sized morsels just for you because we know not everybody has an hour to sit down and watch it or listen to the podcast. This gives you a chance to take it in 3 to 5 to 7 minute clips. Makes it a little bit easier to digest if that's what you want to do. So hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of those clips when they go live. But baseball family, thank you again for joining us this week. We will catch you Thursday after the season is over.